Thanks for joining us for this business article. We know that a lot of you like to know more about things in business, and so that's why we chose this article. And today we have as our panelists...
Simon.
Simon Stops. How are you, Simon?
I'm very well, thank you, Doris. And I'm glad to be here on the panel discussing the business article. I find these articles very interesting, and so I'm hoping we'll get some good discussion today.
Thank you for coming, and then we also have... Who else do we have here today?
Hello, everyone. I'm Albert.
Good. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Doris. I'm super excited to hear your opinion about this article, and also Simon and Ben's.
And Ben is here. Hi, Ben.
Hi. That's right. I'm here. I'm actually currently studying business, and I'm studying entrepreneurship.
Well, so that's that a good article,
up,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Perfectly.
Right. That's good. Well, this article here, let's see, what is the title of the article on page 34?
Well, the article is called What Millennial Entrepreneurs Should Know About Startups. And this is a good article for us today. We brought Ben, who is studying entrepreneurship, but he's also a millennial. We should discuss what those words mean, though.
Well, that's true. Well, that word entrepreneur, it still sounds like a French word to me. They have, like it says E-N, you should say N, but they say on, and their pronunciation is very difficult French words, I think.
That's right. It is a French word, and it's used to describe a person who is starting a business. Actually, we'll have words that use the same root throughout this article. We have entrepreneurial, entrepreneurship, various words like that. And
don't make it too hard, or they might turn it off. You know? Stay tuned, you guys. We're going to hang in there.
Because they're all used in reference to people just starting businesses, so they're not too hard.
Okay. Thanks for coming to explain all that. But what is a millennial? Who can tell me what that is, Albert?
Well, a millennial is, in the States, we like to do every so often, like a few generations or a couple of decades, we like to label them with a little name. And from the 1980s, anyone who was born from the 1980s to the early 2000s, we call it the Generation Y or millennial. These are people who grew up with electronics. They define it as millennials because they're very optimistic about the future, and supposedly they're supposed to be less successful than their parents.
And they also grew up around the millennium, which means the year 2000. Mm. That word millennium means 1,000 years.
I think that's kind of where they got the name from.
I think that's where they got the name. I'm sadly not a millennial, though I like to think of myself as being kind of tech savvy.
What generation label do you have?
I don't know. Let's not get into that now on the radio.
But anyway, let's talk about startups. What is a startup?
Well, a startup is somebody's trying to start a business, and it's starting from nothing and trying to go to something. If you join a company, you're not joining a startup because the company has already started. So many famous companies in the United States, like Apple Computer, were startups at one point.
Amazon.
Yes, right.
So many.
So many.
And so if we were to summarize what this title means, what millennial entrepreneurs should know about startups, it really means what young people who want to start businesses should know about starting businesses.
See, that's a good way to make it. Brilliant. Simplified. And that's key advice. That means important advice, the most important advice to those thinking of starting their own business. A lot of people say, I don't want to work for somebody else. I want to start my own business. In the past, people didn't really have that mindset, did they?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what industry you're in and mm-hmm. how much you like your company, all of these different kinds of things. But what I will say is that it is definitely a trend at the moment that right. people are interested in starting their own businesses.
Well, I think, a couple of generations or decades ago, the world was a much bigger place. And because, of travel, electronic communication, the world is a smaller place now. And people growing up, they don't have to go into the same profession their parents did. They can expand. They go to college. You know, more people are able to go to college and learn different traits and trades. So as such, people can now have more options like considering starting their own business.
Well, also, I think people realize that big, successful companies, some of those we mentioned, there's so many of them, Acer, not, there's so many of those big companies. Mm. It's kind of like, I belong to that company is kind of like an honor, too. They were proud that they could belong to some of these big companies. And if they start their own company, who's ever heard of it? So there's a certain pride in belonging to Boeing's or some of the big companies.
That's true. There's a lot of security, too. I guess it depends on different personality types. If someone is interested in security, maybe they're looking for a stable job at a big company. If they're a little more adventurous, a little more interested in being their own boss, maybe they'll think about entrepreneurship, starting a business.
Well, I'm going to ask Ben, when you just get out of college and stuff, Ben, don't you think it's a little bit shaky to think about just going out and starting your own business? Don't you think you feel like you should get a little experience first before you do your own business? What do you think?
Absolutely. I think you're right. Getting experience is priceless. And many people that I know coming out of college, when they want to start their own thing, their own business, they have a really hard time financially, experience-wise, and they don't have enough friends to really get them going. So actually, that's kind of one of the reasons that right now I'm here.
You're getting experience.
I'm getting experience. That's great. I think that's a great tip for everyone out there who wants to start their own company, to learn from somebody else, learn from the best, and then try it yourself.
Okay, well, let's find out what they have to say about this. You don't have to be just out of school. You could be a startup company, even if you're not a millennial. I mean, some people want to branch off into that later, after they've had experience. But let's find out more what this word startup means to other people, what ideas it comes up, it brings up, it conjures up, it makes ideas and thoughts. Let's read the whole first column on page 34.
What millennial entrepreneurs should know about startups. Key advice to those thinking of starting their own business. The word startup conjures up images of warm, innovative workspaces, community game areas, catered lunches, and laid-back dress codes. Perhaps it's this glamorization of the entrepreneurial lifestyle that draws so many millennials to the prospect of launching their own business. Be the 10%. The desire to ditch the traditional career path and pursue solitary business ventures is prominent among this youngest generation of adults, with 66% of millennials reporting a desire to start their own business in a 2014 Bentley University survey. Just 13% said climbing the corporate ladder to become CEO or president was their career goal. But it's not all glamour, glitz, and game rooms in startup life. The failure rate among startups is 90%, according to Fortune. To become part of the 10% who succeed, here's what millennial entrepreneurs should know.
Well, just think of the fact that 90% don't succeed. Only 10%. That's a little scary, isn't it?
It is. It takes a special person to really go into startups.
So think about that first, and then if you really are a millennial, you want to start up, think about the idea, and maybe you do need a little experience first. But let's go back to the very first paragraph first.
That's right. And I think basically the idea, you just said 90% of startups will not be successful. I think really what that's doing is giving us a contrast or something to compare what people usually think about startups with. And they sort of explain that a little bit in the first paragraph. They say the word startup conjures up, and you mentioned that that means it gives you an idea or an image of something. So when people hear startup, they have this idea of a warm, innovative workspace with community game areas and catered lunches. All of these things we hear about when we hear about working at Google or working at one of those places, right?
Right.
Free food, they do your laundry.
You can wear jeans to work. You don't have to dress up nice.
Yeah, you can sleep in the nap pods.
Yeah, well, the idea behind that is not because they're lazy or they're hippies, but because they want to create a comfortable work environment, and they feel like the more comfortable you are, the longer you'll stay at work. And, you know, like the campuses, they call their offices campuses where it's open 24/7. What I mean is 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah, and they go on to say that perhaps this is the glamorization of the entrepreneurial lifestyle.
Wow, well, what a big long sentence. There's two big words in there.
There are entrepreneurial, again, means the people who are starting up businesses, the lifestyle those people have. But the word glamorization, its root word is glamour, which means like really fancy and wonderful stuff. And so when you glamorize something, it means you think it is maybe more fancy than it really is.
Right. We always think about movie stars as kind of a, wow, what a glamour to be in the movies or to be a model or something that people say, look at that. You know, that's kind of glamorous compared to just working as a secretary, say.
Exactly. And so this idea, even if it's not really true, this glamorized idea of what startup life is like is the thing that is drawing millennials, it says, or attracting millennials to the prospect or the idea of launching their own businesses, of having their own business.
So a lot of people say, I'm going to start my own business and do things the way I think is right. But let's just be the 10%. What does it mean by being the 10%?
Well, we learned earlier in the reading that 90%, according to Fortune magazine or Fortune organization, that the failure rate is 90%. So
be the 10%.
Right. You know, with these tips or what you should know about startups, hopefully you can become the 10%. You know, Ben mentioned earlier how it takes a special someone to get into startup. I feel like it does, but it also it's even more special to become the 10%.
Be the 10%. That's what we're going to read about now. So the desire to get rid of, when you say to ditch something, it means to get rid of. Don't go that way. Don't go the traditional career path. And what is the traditional career path that's mentioned here?
Well, it's a solid work environment. You're joining a company that's been established. It's been working for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the traditional path in that most people that we grew up with or most parents have worked in a job like this. So that's why we say traditional. Traditional just meaning something that happens very often from generation to generation.
Well, the reason the parents worked in that is because that's the kind of things that they had. But now, with the expansion of social media and so many things that have to do with technology, there's new jobs that were not even open to the parents when they started. So it isn't just because the parents didn't have any ideas. It's just that those things had not been invented yet.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think it's interesting here that they say 66% of millennials report a desire. So say they want to start their own business. And that really is sort of a surprising number, almost as surprising as kind of the 90% failure rate. But I think there's probably a couple of reasons for that. One of them, of course, is millennials, like Albert mentioned, kind of grew up during the technology age. And so they'll have grown up with stories of things like Facebook and
people
Google.
People started from nothing and became very successful.
Exactly.
Right?
Kind of high school dropouts who work in the garage and then become billionaires. But the other thing is that young people often have a hard time finding what we might call in English gainful employment, which means basically a good job. And you can see that in some places like parts of Europe, youth unemployment is like 30%, very, very high. And so if you don't have a chance to find a good corporate job, maybe this idea of starting your own business becomes even more attractive.
Yeah, and I mean, just to reiterate, 66% of people, they want to, doesn't mean that they actually do. And, you know, as Ben was mentioning earlier, a traditional job where you have to climb the corporate ladder is just like usually in a traditional structured company, the top floor, the highest floor of a building is like where the boss resides. And mm-hmm. you want to climb the tiers to go get, you know, to get
advancements. Okay, 13%. So actually, when you get a job in a company, I don't think everybody that joins a company for a certain job really wants to climb the corporate ladder. Let's say you decide to become an airline pilot. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you want to take over the whole company. You know, to climb the corporate ladder means to be the top one. I think a lot of people take the job because they want the job. And to climb the corporate ladder is an interesting phrase.
Mm-hmm. It is an interesting phrase. And like Albert said, it basically means moving up within the company or within the organization.
Well, do you think that people who join a company and work there really want to become the CEO? Do you think so, Ben?
Oh, it sounds a little stressful to me.
Mm.
I would say, as a millennial myself,
yes.
growing up with all these stories, like Simon said, stories like Google and there's YouTube and all kinds of different startup companies, Facebook,
mm-hmm.
it kind of makes us millennials feel like there's a possibility of success. But then also, we want to make a difference in the world around us. I feel like the new generation that I grew up in has a particular sense of the whole world. Because of the internet, we're connected to everywhere. And so because of that awareness of what's going on in Africa or Asia or anywhere at any given moment, there's a feel for a need to change something, to do something meaningful. And I don't think that many people my age would just accept a job for money anymore.
No. But you don't necessarily when you need to become the president of a company just to do that either. I mean, the president, it's just like at the school. I like to be a teacher. I don't think I want to be the principal because the principal doesn't teach. So if I like to teach, why do I want to become the principal, the CEO of the school? Because that's an administrative job. And let's say you're a singer. It doesn't mean you want to own the record company. In other words, if you like the job you're doing, do you feel that you have to climb the ladder to become the head of the company and do all the administration and the taxes and the salaries?
No. If we like the job, we want to keep it.
You like
I think
the job.
A lot of young people just get stuck because they've never worked before or they don't know what a job is really like. And
right.
so when they're in college, all they can do is think about, what's my career going to be? What am I going to do? And
think about the glamour.
Yeah,
and
the examples they see are the glamorous jobs.
Right, that's true, yeah. So remember, if you want to do that, that only 10%, and you can't be sure you're going to be one of the 10%. So let's go on and read the second column.
Success doesn't happen overnight. The stories of startups like Uber and Facebook might make some millennials think building a successful company happens quickly and easily, but the reality is considerably different. A Huffington Post article recalls an interview with Facebook co-founder Dustin Moskovitz in which he was asked about Facebook's overnight success. His response, "If by overnight success you mean staying up and coding all night, every night for 6 years straight, then it felt quite tiring and stressful. A successful startup venture requires constant commitment and unwavering persistence, especially in the face of obstacles and setbacks."
Well, that's true that success doesn't usually happen overnight. A few times we read about some famous star or singer or Justin Bieber or somebody who everybody knows, but everybody in the world can't be like that. So don't think you're going to be somebody who gets instant success, right?
That's right. And that's basically what this first paragraph is reminding us of. It says, the stories of startups like Uber and Facebook might make some millennials think that building a successful company happens quickly and easily, but the reality is considerably different. So what they're saying is, even though we think that startups are very easy to do, they're actually very difficult.
Face the reality. let's just look at the statistics and say, let's do something that we want to do. Like you said, Ben, make a difference. That's fine. But you don't have to have your own company to make a difference. A lot of companies are making a difference. They're using money that they gain from other things to help people in other countries. So you don't have to be the CEO to make a difference. Is that right, Albert?
Oh, yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, everyone should always self-reflect and re-examine where they're at and realize, you know, they are doing a lot of good. I feel like in this article particularly, it's just for people, you know, they want to build a legacy, they want the glamour, or not even that, but they just want to be their own boss. You know, it sounds like such an American dream almost, to start from nothing and make something that lasts.
Right.
Yeah, but they go on to sort of describe the actual difficulty that's involved, and to do that, they sort of give an example from the Huffington Post, which of course is an online newspaper in the U.S., where they're interviewing sort of the unknown co-founder of Facebook, a guy named Dustin Moskovitz.
Right, he worked together with
Mark Zuckerberg.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and so he was asked by this newspaper about Facebook's overnight success, and
what
he responded.
What was his response?
Well, he responded, if by overnight success you mean staying up and coding all night, every night for 6 years straight, then it felt quite tiring and stressful.
So it wasn't overnight, was it?
No, not at all. He worked 6 years every night just working on something that he might not have seen a result for. Maybe he didn't even know if it would be successful, but he worked very hard at it.
Well, in the first place, when they started that, I've read, too, that they didn't plan to do it for the whole world. It was something they were doing for their university or something.
Mm.
So it didn't start out as being, let's do a big thing for the world, but it just developed into that.
Right. And, I mean, maybe some people already know about this, but the beginnings of Facebook, it wasn't a generous or kind idea. It was more
Several people had the idea, and then these people worked on it, actually. It wasn't just one person's idea.
That's right, and they end this reading by saying a successful startup venture requires constant commitment and unwavering persistence. Some big words there. Constant commitment just means you have to always be committed, always be determined to continue working.
But what about unwavering persistence? Wow, let's just say that. Unwavering persistence.
Unwavering persistence.
What does that mean?
Well, unwavering means it's not wavering, and wavering basically means you're changing your mind or going back and forth. And so what this means is you have to be determined to keep trying. Persistence means keep going or keep trying.
Why is it so hard? Because we have to face a lot of things. What do we face there?
A lot of obstacles from the outside world, from other companies, from other people who are trying to succeed.
Competition?
Yeah, 66% of the kids graduating from college want to start a business, then you're going to have a lot of different people that you're competing against.
Well, and also money is an obstacle. Sometimes they don't have enough money to do it. Isn't that true?
That's true.
Those are some of the obstacles.
Yeah, that's right. They'll be sort of scrambling to get resources against a lot of different competition.
Also, people accepting your vision and joining you and helping you, that's not always easy to get your teammates, to get the people you're going to work with.
Can you think of some of the things that could be a setback?
Well, I think what happens is a lot of people don't realize when you're your own boss, there's no real backup. You are the last thing that's holding everything up. You can't fall on other people. You can't constantly rely on other people. You have your own time and effort committed to this. You're investing everything. So it's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. So there's a lot of setbacks. Yeah.
A setback can also be something like the economy isn't good all of a sudden. Originally, people had money. Now they don't. So what would have been successful in a prosperous economy may not be an economy that's not so good. There are many kinds of things that could be a setback. Isn't that right?
Yeah. All kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm. So the last paragraph, what does it talk about?
Well, it goes on to discuss entrepreneurship being self-driven.
Entrepreneurship is self-driven. Being your own CEO might sound like the ultimate freedom, but getting your own company off the ground means operating on all cylinders all the time and in all roles. In addition to whatever product or service you're developing, startup founders should be prepared to serve as their own human resources team, accounting department, and even janitorial staff.
Well, it might sound good to a lot of people to be your own boss. This is my freedom. But when you try to get started, and what phrase do they use here for getting started?
Well, they use the phrase getting off the ground. And this is basically a phrase that comes from flying or from space flight, where the difficult part is getting the airplane or the rocket up into the air. That's where all the hard work happens.
And that's why it says, by operating on all cylinders, that means you put the thrust there. It really has a big start. That's very important. Getting it started, isn't it?
That's right. Operating on all cylinders is referring to like an engine or something that is working. An engine has cylinders, and each cylinder has to work together to make the whole engine work.
So in addition to getting this thing going, the founders that want to start it up, they have to be prepared to do several things that they never thought of before. What is the first one?
Well, they have to be prepared to serve as their own human resources team. You know, you have to do things that not only a boss does, but like in human resources.
Human resources that take care of the needs of the people. What's the second one they have
right,
to do?
The second one there is the accounting department. And so you need to be able to take care of your own company's books, keep track of money that's being spent. And
taxes, everything.
Taxes, payroll for your employees, different things like that.
And the third one is not such a glamorous job. What is the third one, Ben?
The janitorial staff. And it's not glamorous, but it's very needed. It is fixing things, cleaning things up, making sure that the office is
turning off the lights at night.
That's right, turning off the lights at night.
Okay. Well, so those are some things that we have to think about, and we'll review them tomorrow, but our time is up for today. So come back to find out more about what you have to think about when you start your own business. So will you all be here tomorrow?
Yeah, I will.
We hope all of you listening in will be here, too. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.